Thanks for joining us for another episode of Divorce Confidential. I'm Michelle DeLino, family law and divorce attorney with DeLino Law Group in the Seattle Bellevue area.
And I'm Amy Alpeza. I'm a certified real estate divorce specialist, and I work all over King County, specialize in helping clients who are either going through divorce or separation understand their real estate assets as it pertains to their divorce settlement.
Divorce Confidential is tips and tricks from the pros. Every week, we're going to bring you something new, something you didn't know, something that matters. So thanks for being here with us, and let's get started. Today, we're going to talk about the kitchen sink divorce, right? Maybe you don't know what that is if you're listening, but we're going to tell you, and we're going to tell you why it's a bad idea. I'll tell you first off, before we really get into it, there's kind of four different ways you can do your divorce. You can do the kitchen table, kitchen sink divorce, where you take everything out in the kitchen sink and throw it on the kitchen table and sit around and try to hash it out with your spouse. You can go a litigation divorce where you fight about everything in court, which most people don't do and is a bad idea. You can go through the collaborative process, which is a thing in and of itself that we'll talk about another day, or you can do more of a cooperative divorce with attorneys, which is what most people do, where you try to cooperate and get advice and work through it. So those are kind of your main four approaches. And I would say the worst one is probably the kitchen table divorce. What do you think, Amy?
Definitely. So, I mean, I was reading something about this the other day and just thinking about, you know, a few of our clients who have come to us who have tried to handle their divorce themselves, or, you know, they say to each other, hey, we're amicable. We want to get a divorce. You know, we want to do good by each other. So why do we need to hire an attorney? Why do we need to spend thousands of dollars, you know, separating our assets when we can agree on it? Right.
Totally. And why not is the question, right? And so we need to answer that, I think.
Definitely. Definitely. So Michelle, from your experience, have you had clients who have come to you who have tried to, you know, do their own divorce? And, or maybe they've even settled it and then they come to you and they're like, hey, you know what? I don't think I got a very good shake. Like, what can I do about this?
Yeah.
What do you tell clients?
Well, I usually tell them if you've entered final orders, it's too late. And that's the worst thing about it. Sometimes we do get clients that come to us though, where they've tried this and they're working on it and they've sat down and you know what people do, right? They ask their friends and family, what happened in your divorce? And that's not a good thing to do because everybody's situation is different and your friends and family have like the best intentions. And so when they're telling you, oh, do this or that, it might've worked for them, but it might not for you. But what happens is people who get along, like you said, Amy, they sit down around the kitchen table and or around a Starbucks table or whatever, and they think, how should we do this? Let's try to save money. But then people go back and talk to their friends and family, or they go to Google, or maybe they consult with someone and they say, this doesn't seem totally fair. And if you do that before you actually sign a final divorce agreement, it's not too late. But if you do that and you think, hey, I felt really good about this, and then you realize later, maybe you should have got $100,000 or $200,000 or even more, that doesn't feel good. And there's nothing you can do. So let me just tell you why I think it's such a bad idea. And it's not so attorneys make more money or so you fight about things. It's so you understand what you're entitled to. And what might feel fair to you might not feel fair to your spouse, and or what you might think is fair is not at all what the law in Washington says. So what I tell people is a divorce, it really is the most complicated and binding legal contract that you ever entered into, even if it didn't feel like it when you did it. And so to undo it and dividing all of your assets is a serious legal issue. So you don't have to fight about it. You don't have to go to court about it, but you at least need to understand what you're entitled to, so you know what a fair division in Washington state is. Otherwise, if you just sit down around a table with your spouse and say, hey, I keep my accounts, you keep your accounts, you could come out totally lopsided, even if it feels fair, and have regrets later.
Right, right. No, that's such a great point. I think, you know, especially because Washington state is a community property state.
Yes.
We're not a 50-50 state. And right. Typically, you know, most divorces do not end in 50-50.
Correct.
I think, you know, one thing that someone might argue is, well, what's the difference? You know, let's say we don't have a lot of money. Let's say we don't have a lot of assets, right? We just have children, or we have a house, or, you know, a couple of cars, right?
Yeah.
And so I hear that a lot from people who think, well, we don't have very much, so why do we need to spend so much on attorneys? And my perspective is you don't have to spend a lot on attorneys, right? Like if you get along with your soon to be ex-spouse, you can absolutely be cooperative, right? We use this term a lot. cooperative in your divorce process can be amicable. You can still like each other when you're finished. Yep. You can still want the best for each other. But, you know, another, aspect of it is like the tax planning and the tax consequences, right? Because this is something that so many clients, they try to separate their finances and then they say, okay, I'm going to take half of this account and you're going to take half of this account. And then they go to move stuff around. And then what happens?
They have all these tax implications. Or a lot of people will come to me and they'll think, well, we just want to divide all of our accounts in half. And first of all, like you said, Amy, we're not a 50-50 state. So what I mean by that for anybody listening is community property does not equal 50-50. Community property means anything that is bought during the marriage, acquired during the marriage, or spent, it applies to debts too, is presumed to be community. And that means both parties have an interest regardless of what name is on the title of the account, right? Or the property.
Exactly.
So how you divide it in some states is 50-50, like California, but in Washington, it's not. It depends more on how long you were married, what's the financial situation of the parties. And so you could have a 60-40 division, a 55-45 division, 52-48. It could be very different than just 50-50. And I get people that come to me all the time and they say, well, we just want to divide everything in half. And they don't understand that if you do that, you are probably going to spend more money because to divide a 401k, you have to get a special order. Mm-hmm. You might not understand what is more advantageous to you from a tax perspective as far as what assets you should keep. And sometimes it makes sense for one party to keep, you know, a handful of liquid assets. Another party might be more beneficial for them to have retirement assets. Sometimes it makes sense for people to divide them, but sometimes it doesn't. So, you know, or one party might keep more of the real estate, but you really need to look at your individual situation to know what's going to make the most sense for you from a tax perspective and from a long-term financial planning perspective. A lot of people, I love it that you said, people say, well, I've got a house and a couple of cars and that's not a lot. But you know, right? The house is usually their biggest asset. Yeah. And if you don't really know what your house is worth, you could think, oh, we're just going to agree the house is worth what it says on Redfin. And that could be $100,000 less than it's really worth, right?
Yeah, totally.
So, yeah. So that's still, even though you might not think you have a lot, if you have a car and a house and a couple of kids, those are still pretty major decisions to make.
Definitely the parenting plan, child support. I mean, and in Washington state, you know, that's a different topic for a different day, but in Washington state, there are very defined rules and regulations around, you know, what a parenting plan looks like and how to calculate child support. Right. So totally. It's all the other stuff that the court is like, we don't really care how you divide it, right?
Nope. Yep.
We don't care. And it could be 80-20. The court will
say, totally. And you could be really wrong about that. And I like what you said too. And I think anybody listening should really listen to this. Just because you use an attorney doesn't mean you have to spend a lot. People ask me, the most common question I get asked is, how much is this going to cost? And the true answer is, it's going to cost exactly how much you and your spouse make it cost. So if you and your spouse are amicable and you want to just work for a fair agreement and what is the law in Washington, and you want to really share, you're not going to hide finances and you just want to get it drafted up and done right and really work through it in a cooperative way, you're not going to spend tens of thousands of dollars because you're not going to go to court. You might not even need a mediation. You're not going to spend money on, you know, motions and financial discovery because you're going to be transparent with each other, but you're getting help to make sure you're both getting a fair shake. And those divorces can be far more cost-effective. You could spend a little bit of money on an attorney, and that's better than the kitchen table divorce, because on the kitchen table divorce, you could be leaving tens of thousands of dollars on the table because you don't know, right?
Or so, you could be putting yourself into a tax consequence or tax situation where then, I mean, I've had clients who, you know, they move funds around and then they don't realize, oh crap, I wasn't supposed to, you know, move this account, or I wasn't supposed to do it within this time period. And then here, now I have a $50,000 liability for tax consequences, right?
Totally. That happens all the time. People, oh, I'm going to cash this stock out before I transfer it. And then you don't realize you just created a taxable event and you didn't need to do that. So great point. I think the bottom line is, before you hash out that kitchen table divorce, consider getting legal advice and legal help to go through the biggest legal decision that you're going to make in your life. It's like, I know a little bit about tax, but I still talk to a tax professional. I know about real estate, but I don't like list my house for sale by owner because I would not, you know, I'd make mistakes. So it's like, you know, there might be things that look appealing to people to save money, but what you don't realize is that it's probably costing you money in the long term, right? Oh,
totally, totally. And that just kind of reminds me of, you know, when clients are asking for, let's say, a discount on commission, right? And it's like, you know, that 0.5% or that 1% that you think that you're saving, like, I'll get you that and more on the sale of your house, right? Totally. And so that's the difference between trying to, you know, hire somebody as a discount broker or trying to do it yourself, right? It's like, don't try to separate and divide the, like you said, the most complicated legal contract that you enter into. It's also the most complicated financial contract that you enter into.
It is. Oh. You know, another thing too, I think when you're talking about that, it's worth just highlighting, just like you shouldn't kitchen table your divorce. I mean, you really shouldn't like Redfin your real estate. I think about, I even think about, what has it been like 6 years now when you helped me buy my current house, you guys helped me buy my current house. Mm-hmm. And there were other people that were interested in the house. I remember thinking, I'm not going to get it or whatever. And it was pending. And then I ended up finding out, well, it ended up not being pending because they were using a Redfin agent and the Redfin agent, like it fell apart. Right. So yeah. A Redfin agent is not, you might be thinking you're saving money, but go with the agent that's going to actually get you the property and right. help you, you know, right. It's the same kind of thing. You think you're penny wise and pound foolish, I think, in situations like that.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Actually, this is totally off topic, but I had a client who called me last night and she's been a client for several years, but I know she also buys a lot of real estate on her own. And some people's tactics are to hire the listing broker to represent them as a buyer, which I've never understood that because a listing broker is not representing you. They're representing the seller. They're just writing a contract for you. And this contract is falling apart and they're panicking, you know, and they're asking, hey, help, you know, help us, you know, what do we do? And I'm like, this is why I can't help you.
So. That's a really good point. So some people actually go to a listing, they go and they think, oh, by hiring the listing broker, somehow I'm like getting a better deal. It's like the opposite, isn't it?
It totally is the opposite. I think people think that they're going to get a discount, right? Like, oh, I'm going to get a rebate. I was thinking about your Redfin situation because Redfin is notorious for offering rebates, whether it's on the listing side or the buy side. And oftentimes a listing broker will say, okay, I'll give you 1% back if you work with me because they're getting 5%, right? Oh. So then they're like, sure, I'll write it up for you, but they don't have your financial.
By not having somebody really representing you, it's costing you like
thousands of dollars. And so now, you know, they have a contract, a new construction, you know, house that was supposed to be finished and closed. And for whatever reason, I don't know, you know, if the builder felt like he couldn't finish the house for what he had charged them, you know, what the sale price was, or if he looked at the market and said, you know what, this house that, you know, we just sold, now it's worth double or, you know, 40% more than it was last year, you know? So, I mean, I've seen lots of builders who are doing that and canceling and terminating contracts. And because they're like, hey, this is another $500 or $1 million, sure. more, you know? So
why wouldn't I kind of, yeah. Right? Oh man, that's rough.
But anyway, just getting back to why you should really truly hire a professional, whatever practice or service you're looking into. It's like Michelle said, you know, we know a lot about different industries, but I'm not a doctor, right? Like you always make this analogy. If I break my arm, I'm not going to put a cast on it myself and try to fix it. Right. Like, you know, we know about taxes, we know about finances, but we're going to hire a financial planner. We're going to hire our tax advisor to do our taxes for us. So that's what I would leave you guys with is even if you do start your own kitchen table, kitchen sink divorce, have an attorney look at it prior to your settlement at the very least. And if you haven't, and you're just in talks and negotiations with your soon-to-be ex, one thing to keep in mind is just because you hire an attorney doesn't mean that you are trying to be litigious, and it doesn't mean that you are trying to start a fight. It's like, it's just a complicated matter that I don't understand and we need advice around it. So.
Absolutely. That's the best thing to say, Amy. I think the moment of succinct advice for everybody is attorney doesn't equal fighting. Attorney equals smart decision. I mean, I'll just leave everybody listening with this example. there's a client that I had that I think, Amy, actually, you know her too. And she really was trying to negotiate this with her spouse. They used like a non-attorney to try to help them at one point because they were so freaked out by using attorneys. And it wasn't until she asked me, hey, can you look at this before I settle on it? It doesn't feel totally right to me. And I looked at it and I said, you can't do this. And then we ended up, both parties ended up getting attorneys and we ended up going to a mediation and settling it. And they still didn't end up fighting. Like the spouses didn't end up fighting, yeah. But my client ended up with about $450,000 more than she would have ended up with if she had just signed on the dotted line and felt like they did a kitchen table divorce. So, I mean, yeah. Not every case ends up like that. It's not always that big of a difference, but the succinct advice is talk to a professional, whether it's about your real estate, whether it's about that kitchen sink, kitchen table divorce before you sign anything. And you might be surprised what you find out. People need to know that professionals, whether they're attorneys or other professionals, most of us don't want you to fight. We don't want you to enter into conflict. We want to help you get through it. It's better for everyone. So that's what we're here for. And if you take nothing else away from this, don't DIY your divorce. All right.
Awesome. Thanks, Michelle. All right. Thanks for joining us today, you guys.
See you guys next time. Bye.